Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning 5 here on Friday, April 5th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Mr. Jonah Booker in just a moment. A lot of good stuff to get into. Just about a week left of spring ball. Spring game is a week from tomorrow. What questions have been answered so far for the Buckeyes this spring? What questions remain? Jay Book and I are going to get into all of that and more. We're going to start off talking about the offensive line. Before we get to that, let me tell you guys once again about our awesome sponsor, Factor Meals, and a great deal you guys can get. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, Vegan and Veggie, and more. Also discover more than 60 add-ons every week like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your springtime goals. Head to factormeals.com/bucknuts50 and use code bucknuts50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code BUCKNUTS50 at factormeals.com/BUCKNUTS50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. I love Factor. Their meals are great. Like I tell you guys, I love their smoothies. Great deal, 50% off. So get with that. And welcome to the show, Jonah Booker. It's great to see you as always on a Friday, my friend. Let's just jump right into it. We're going to get into what we've learned so far this spring, you know, what questions have been answered, what questions still remain. The biggest question that probably still remains, as you pointed out when we were doing a little show prep, is this offensive line national championship caliber? We haven't learned that yet, but do you think it is?
That's a big question, Dave, because you look at where they were 3 months ago against Missouri. Have they been able to get that much better in that short amount of time? I'm skeptical, Dave. Can they get there? Sure, they can get there, but are they there now? If we're going to rate it on a scale of 10, we didn't discuss our scores. I'm going to go with a 6. Can they be a championship offensive line by the fall? Now, that all of that hinges on Dave, Justin Fry. Can he get the most out of his unit? Can he squeeze every ounce of juice out of that offensive line? And I'm thinking, Dave, that he potentially can, man, but it's still going to be a lot. I still have a lot of questions regarding the right side of that offensive line. Luke Montgomery, he's going to be wet behind the ears. Fryer, he's not the most athletic tackle out there. They said that he's improved in the offseason. He had a great winter conditioning session. But at the same time, I'm like, come on, man. We need this offensive line. It's probably the one position that could hold this team back from being a championship caliber type team that's going to be holding up that trophy at the end of the season.
Yeah, it's certainly my biggest concern on the team, Jay Book. I'm not setting off alarms, though. It's like this roster is so loaded. It's just that's one of the areas where you're like, okay. It's not exactly like looking at the wide receiver position or safety. You know, you got Caleb Downs back there. You know, you're going to have Lathan Ransom. Some of these position groups are so stacked. Running back, Winshon Judkins and Travion Henderson. Offensive line, defense. I could just go on and on. Defensive line, corners. Offensive line's one where I'm like, you know what? They could be championship caliber, but I'm not convinced they are. It's one of those things where the proof will be in the pudding. I'm kind of with you. I'll give it a 7 just because of the Chip Kelly bump.
Yeah.
And because of the people, you know, the weapons around them, to be championship caliber, let me ask you if you agree with this. For the offensive line to be a championship caliber offensive line, they need to be at least good. They don't themselves have to be elite, but they cannot be average. They certainly can't be a liability. They have to be good. They have to be a strength. I'm not saying they have to win the Joe Moore Award. Do you agree with that, that the offensive line has to be good, maybe not great? Or do you think the offensive line has to be great?
I think they have to be good, Dave, at least. They cannot win a championship, this team, if the offensive line at minimum is not good, because you're going to see Oregon potentially twice. Oregon is loaded up front. In order to run the gauntlet of the Big Ten, the expanded playoffs, you're probably going to have to face Georgia to get there. You got Michigan at the end of the season, who's going to be absolutely loaded in their front. Penn State always has a little bit of talent there on their front. Then you look at some of the teams that's going to be in contention. Texas have a solid front seven. There's no way this team can win a national championship if this offensive line plays the way that they played last year, which was very inconsistent. You need those veterans to take that step to the next level. You need Justin Fry to do what he was brought in here to do, which is, hey, I'm going to have these guys playing at a high clip. Now, the equalizer is Chip Kelly coming in here and then bringing in the offensive line analyst from UCLA, one of Chip's guys as well, that was formerly at Michigan. So he's going to be able to help Justin Fry out on that offensive line. But I'm going to say this, Dave. If Justin Fry does not get it done this year, will he be back next year?
I don't know. I mean, some people have opined bringing Tim Drevno in, as you mentioned, who was not a good offensive coordinator at Michigan, but, you know, maybe he's a good offensive line coach. Bringing him in as an analyst, I'm a fan of that. Some people have opined, well, if Fry doesn't have a good year this year, then they just hired his replacement. He's going to be sitting there as an analyst this year. Yeah, I would say that's fair. This is his third year, Jay Book.
Mm-hmm.
Third year. If we're sitting there and Ohio State gets knocked out of the playoffs, or heaven forbid they lose to Michigan again, I don't think they're going to lose to Michigan. That's game's going to be in the horseshoe this year. Let's go. But if they do, let's say they lose in maybe the second round of the playoffs, and we're sitting there saying the reason they lost is the offensive line, that could be it for Justin Fry. But if we're sitting there like, okay, you know, the offensive line turned out to be, is it the best offensive line in the world? No, but it's turned out to be, you know, as good as we could have expected, then I think Fry's going to be okay. But it is interesting they brought in Tim Drevno. And I think that was good, because you have Todd Fitch is more with the quarterbacks and stuff like that, one of the analysts, senior analysts. Mm-hmm. Now you bring in that offensive line guy to kind of take the spot that Joe Philbin filled last year.
Yeah, and I will say this, Dave, the one thing that a lot of people really haven't touched on, we've all praised the Quinshon Judkins addition to the room. Everybody in all of college football says this is the best 1-2 punch running backs in college football. If we watch this Ohio State team head out to Oregon and they're still struggling to run the football with this 1-2 punch, that right there is going to be an absolute scorcher of a seat for Justin Fry, because what's been the excuse for the last several years? Well, he's had to kind of dig this offensive line room out of a hole after Stud left. Stud's lack of recruiting has put the offensive line in a situation where there's not a lot of depth. There's not a lot of high-end talent in there right now. So they were relying on Justin Fry to bring his expertise, which is supposedly developing guys. We really haven't seen him hit it out the park when it comes to recruiting. So if you're going to be a coach at Ohio State, you got to be one or the other. You got to be able to either have some solid recruiting chops, or you have to be someone who can develop those lower rated guys into high caliber players. As much as people, laugh at Ed Warner was a terrible recruiter, Dave. But what did you see from Ed Warner? He got every ounce that he can squeeze out of that 2014 national championship offensive line. There was no reason why Jacoby Bourne was out there just dominating those 300 plus Alabama front seven guys that we saw. And some of the, and, you know, you look at Baldwin and some of these guys that, you know, really shouldn't have been starting caliber offensive linemen at Ohio State, but they got the most out of those guys and it ended up being a championship caliber line. So you look at where we're at right now, I kind of view it as a similar situation to where, hey, you potentially got an all Big Ten type of tackle with Simmons on the left side. He's really transformed his body. I thought he had a very solid year playing left tackle for his first time in all of college football coming from San Diego. Now you got Seth McLaughlin in there who has a ton of experience coming from Alabama. Donovan Jackson, we look at him, had a bad year last year. You know, coming in as a highly regarded number one guard in the country, five-star guy, played himself back to his senior year where a lot of pundits believe that he could have been, you know, at minimum a second round, third round pick if he had a solid year. So he's back. He has a lot to prove. So the pressure's on Justin Fry. If they go out to Oregon, Dave, and they're not able to run the football, that right there is going to be a huge red flag nationally. I mean, what's the narrative right now? You know, when you're talking to Michigan fans and pundits who are a little, you know, looking at Ohio State side eye, they're not physical up front. They can't run the football when everybody in the stadium knows it's fourth and one and you need to get that first down. They struggle to run the football. They had to run an end around to a Mecca Ibuka at Notre Dame with the game on potentially on the line because they were not able to get physical up front. So fast forward now to the spring, 3 months from when they absolutely got destroyed by Missouri. Can they get to the level that Ohio State needs them to be? I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say, yes, they can, but it's going to take a lot from Justin Fry, Dave.
Well, I got to block some idiot here. I have to block some idiot here. And then I accidentally clicked on Sue's. I'm like, I don't want to block Sue. Jeez, I already blocked Lindsay accidentally. Jeez. Goodness gracious. But I did block that. I'm having to do some quality control here. Yeah, man. I mean, well said on all fronts there. Let's switch gears and talk quarterback. That certainly hasn't been answered. I'm a little surprised there. Now, I still think Will Howard's going to be the starting quarterback this year. Where are you at? Week left in spring ball with the quarterback situation.
Yeah, it's fascinating, Dave, because I think Devin Brown is right there neck and neck with him. I mean, you look at every – you know, highlight that we're seeing from practice and Devin Brown's making some big time throws. And I think it's great for the football team, Dave, that Devin Brown is, if he's going to go out, he's going to go out fighting. And that's what you're seeing. It's only going to make those guys better. So I love that these guys are battling neck and neck. I still tend to lean that Will Howard is going to potentially be the guy. And I say that with a slight edge right now because Devin Brown is playing his butt off. He's making the throws that he needs to make. He's creating the big plays. I trust that you're going to have a much more experienced evaluator in that room to make the decision. And Chip Kelly, and I think the thing that I really believe hurt this program last year, Dave, you had a guy in Corey Dennis who a lot of people believe had his opinion on who should have been the starting quarterback. Ryan Day overrode him, if you're to believe some people now. And Dave, you said that too. You know, the coaches vote Ryan Day overrode those guys. Now, when you have a veteran like Chip Kelly, who's going to command the respect from Ryan Day, if he goes in there, has a one-on-one meeting with Ryan Day and says, Ryan, Devin Brown's my quarterback. Will Howard's my quarterback. Ryan's going to take that. And I have faith that he's not going to override Chip Kelly. And I think the experience and the respect that Chip brings to that quarterback room and his past history with Ryan Day is going to really put that narrative out there like this is our guy. The one thing I don't want him to do, Dave, I don't want this to drag on to all fall camp. I would really like to see whoever wins that starting job. It gets announced earlier in fall camp. Give that guy the football, regardless if it's Devin or if it's Will, and let them lead this football team. Give them the keys and say, this is your squad. Go out there and get ready to lead these boys into battle.
No doubt about it. It's going to be – and you know what? And you're right. If this drags on, because then the next question is going to be, especially if Devin is right there and Devin doesn't transfer and Devin has no plans of transferring. Now, things can change. Tate Martell famously said, you know, he's not going anywhere. And then 3 days later, he transfers. So, but Devin just seems like a different type of cat. I believe him when he says that. So now the next question is going to be, we don't want to go down this road, but it's going to be out there. Somebody's going to ask if they're both here in the fall and it's closed. People are going to be like, is there any chance you're going to go with the two quarterback system?
Like,
I hate two quarterback system.
That'll be the question, but I do not think that will be the case at all. If one guy is outplaying the other, then hey, you know, the other person is going to have to make a business and financial decision if he wants to stay at Ohio State. But I cannot see them going with a two quarterback system. I don't think Chip Kelly. I can't remember a time, and I'm not vast, you know, to look at everything that Chip Kelly has done throughout his career, but I can't recall a situation where Chip Kelly, you know, did a two quarterback system type of deal. Like, I think he's going to pick his guy and ride that guy until, you know, the wheels fall off or, you know, something where that guy plays himself out of that position.
I do think that they're going to sell the guy. I don't think this is a sell. This is reality. I think they're going to tell both young men, Will and Devin, and Julian Sain looks the part. He's a true freshman, but I'm impressed when I see Julian Sain. There's no doubt about it. But just focusing on Will and Devin, I'm sure they're telling them, like, listen, we're going to need both of you guys. We're going to run the quarterback more this year. You guys are both good running quarterbacks. Maybe they'll joke with Devin, especially with you, Devin. We know we're going to need more than one. No, watch Devin stay healthy this year, and Will's the one that's going to get banged up. Will's had no durability issues. Will's a big boy too, but Devin is, if people haven't stood next to Devin Brown, he's a big boy. He really is. He's every bit of 6'3". Looks even maybe a little shade taller than 6'3". You know, he's well put together. Devin's a big boy. Will's a little bigger. So hopefully they're selling. I think they are selling these guys like, hey, we're going to need both of you.
Right. And the thing, the biggest question mark with Devin is not his ability. It's always been his durability. Can he stay healthy? He's been extremely fragile over the last, you know, several years that he's been in the program that I think has stunted his growth as a quarterback because he's missed quite a bit of time. And I will say this, Dave, I don't see a reason to have a two quarterback system because when you look at the athleticism and you look at each guy's ability to run the football, there's not a huge difference to say, hey, one guy's out there like, you know, Mike Vick or Lamar Jackson and the other guy is your pocket passer. So we're going to rotate in this other guy so that he can give a different dynamics with his legs. Like, there's not a huge, you know, burst in speed and athleticism from those guys when it comes to running the football. Now, Will Howard, he's an absolute tank. And you see him out there, that quarterback zone read that he's been able to do, the pin and pop and stuff that Chip Kelly likes to do with the quarterback situation. That's something that Will Howard will absolutely thrive in. Can Devin do it? I think he can. The question is, if you're running Devin 5 to 6 times a game, can his body hold up? And I don't know if it can because we haven't seen it yet. So that's the biggest question mark when it comes to Devin.
I love that the depth they have at quarterback. Well, it was just 10 years ago. I think they needed some depth at quarterback. Hopefully they won't need to go down to the third string. But if you do, having Julian Sain as a third string, even as a true freshman, is a pretty nice luxury. People said we're not hearing much about Aaron Nolan. Aaron Nolan hasn't looked bad out there. I would just say right now Julian's ahead of him. He goes ahead of him every time in drills. You know, I mean, they're all rotating in there. Air's getting like a lot of reps. But Julian seems to be clearly ahead of Air right now. That's just what I'm seeing.
Would you hear anything about Lincoln Keenholtz?
He looks solid out there. By the way, he's out there after practice. This is not going to surprise anybody. He's out there after practice, you know, getting extra work in with the quarterbacks, and then the kickers are still out there. So he just goes up to the kicker. Let me try one of these. Just boots the ball like 60, 70 yards down the field, like super, almost hits the ceiling of the whack. This kid, he looks like the coolest kid on campus. Lincoln Keenhall's got the, you know, he's got the headband and everything. Almost looks like he's like a top gun fighter. You know, he's got the hair and everything. Looks like he's like a young, like military, like fighter jet pilot. I'm serious. I mean, like, that's what he looks like. He's not having any trouble in college. Let me put it that way. On the field, he looks solid. You can see him. You can see the mat. I know you want to know more about how he looks as a quarterback, probably. You can see him getting better and better and better. It seems like right now he goes ahead of Julian. But Julian goes fourth, and then Air goes fifth, and Keenholz goes third. So I'm intrigued by him. He's got a high ceiling because playing all those three sports in high school, and he's fantastic at all three of them. USA Today, National High School Athlete of the Year. Regardless of sport, regardless of where you're from, level, he was number one. Now he's just focusing on football. This is his first time going through spring ball. I think he's a guy that has a high ceiling, but I think he's also one of those guys we're going to have to be patient with. And no one's patient this day and age in college football, but I'm not writing off Lincoln Kingholt. I'm not writing off any of these guys, man. They're all talented.
Yeah, Lincoln's freakishly athletic. You watch some of his stuff that he was able to do in all three sports, and he's a heck of an athlete, Dave. And I just think that it's going to take him a little bit more time. And that's the thing, you mentioned it. You hit it on your head, on the head, being patient. How patient will he want to be? Remember, he was previously committed to University of Washington, so he was going to go play for the Washington coach. If he enters the portal, if he decides to enter the portal, I wonder if Alabama will be a destination for him to go reunite with the Washington coach who he originally committed to, and Ohio State was able to flip him. But I think that he has the potential to be a really good quarterback. I think it's going to take him a little bit more time coming from the Dakotas.
We're going to get back to more Ohio State football. We've talked about some things that have not been answered. Remember, now Jay Book and I are going to get into some things that have been answered this spring. Some guys that is just like, okay, yep, we know that this question's been answered. Before we get to that, I want to let you guys know about our other sponsor, Manscaped, and a really cool thing they're doing. This episode is brought to you by Manscaped. Did you know one man every hour, every day is diagnosed with testicular cancer? In fact, testicular cancer is the most common form of cancer amongst men aged 15 to 35. With April being National Testicular Cancer Awareness Month, our friends over at Manscaped have partnered with the Testicular Cancer Society to help spread awareness for men's health and early cancer detection. Visit manscaped.com/TCS to learn how to check yourself for early signs of cancer. And as always, you can use promo code BUCKNUTS for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. In addition to providing the right tools and solutions for comfortable and easy grooming, Manscaped is committed to raising awareness and giving support for fighters, survivors, and families impacted by testicular cancer. That's why they will be donating $50,000 to the Testicular Cancer Society. Help save lives and balls by going over to manscaped.com/TCS and sharing their funny, educational Check Yourself video. And while you're at it, grab 20% off plus free shipping with code BUCKNUTS. Because like a famous American philosopher once said, take care of your mentals, your balls, and your chickens. All right, cool thing they're doing there. All right, questions that have been answered. Oh, is there too much hype around J.J. Smith? Is he really going to come in here as advertised? Oh, buddy. Yeah. That's a question. Was that even a question? If it was, if people are wondering, too much hype? No. He's the real deal Holyfield. I just can't be excited enough about J.J. Smith.
Yeah, JJ's a guy that's answered a lot of the questions already. When you got NFL guys that are in the house saying this kid's different, I think you had Jackson Smith and Jigba was on video yesterday from the scrimmage talking about he's a different type of animal out there. When you got Denzel Burke, who's going to be potentially a first round corner, just saying this kid, he's a different breed out there. That right there tells you that he has earned the respect of these players because he's an absolute beast out there. The thing that's been answered that I'm starting to feel very, very good about, Dave, the linebacker room, listening to James Laurinaitis talk, hearing all of the news about CJ Hicks, Gabe Powers has been looking, sounding like he's been looking really good out there. Arvell Reese is an absolute beast in the middle, like 6'4", 240, Mike linebacker, like big boy in the middle. And then, you got your heady veteran and Cody Simon there bringing Sonny Styles down to the linebacker position. I think it's going to be a much more athletic linebacker room. Those guys, that they're saying that they're going to play a lot of them now. And the one unified message, Dave, that you're hearing from the coaches, especially on defense, we're going to play a lot of guys. It's going to be a long season. We need everybody, all hands on deck towards the end of the season. And how do we get there? That means we're going to have to rotate guys. We're going to have to play some of these younger guys. And that right there is, if true, Dave.
Right?
Thank you. We have been asking that from the coaching staff for years. Like, please just play some of these younger guys. And if you're going to be able to get packages in there with CJ Hicks, with a Sonny Styles and an Arvell Reese, when you're going to a three linebacker look, or you can, you know, bring out a defensive lineman, be so creative to where you can have a Mitchell Melton up there in the middle. And then you talk about your Jason Moores and your McDonald's and all of those younger guys that are going to be in the rotation. That right there, that's where you start to really show recruits on the trail, like, hey, you come to Ohio State, we're playing a lot of these younger guys. Look at us. We got a deep rotation. You know, we got our 11 starters. But, hey, if you're in that too deep, we're considering you, you know, a potential starter because you're going to get a significant amount of snaps. Long season. We need everybody healthy. If you can do that, Dave, and you actually show it on the field, that right there will pay huge dividends on the recruiting trail. But most importantly, we need everybody healthy come the Michigan game at the end of November, because no matter who you play, Michigan, Oregon, USC, the week after that Michigan game, you're going to have to turn that right back around and get up for another huge game. And then if you don't have a first-round playoff bye, hopefully you're not going on the road in December. You're probably going to have a short turnaround to get ready again for a first-round playoff bye. They cannot operate the way that they have operated in the previous past, to where you beat your starters to death because you got guys in there late in the fourth quarter up by 35 points and you're not getting live reps for your young guys. So that unified message that we've been hearing from the coaches this spring, that right there has put a huge smile on my face, because if what they're saying is true, it's only going to benefit this program because there's so much talent. You got to find a way to get those younger guys on the field.
And that's clearly a question that's been answered. Coming into spring, will a young backup defensive tackle step up? But not just guys you can throw in the game and maybe they'll hold the fort down a little bit, give Tyleek and Ty a rest, keep them healthy. No, our dude's going to step up. And I thought Caden McDonald flashed last year as a true freshman. I'm thinking maybe as a sophomore, he'll step up. And Jason Moore redshirted last year. Maybe as a redshirt freshman, he'll step up. Man, I think those two have been two of the big stories of spring, especially Caden McDonald. And Jason Moore looks great. And Hero Canoe looks good too, but it looks like maybe Jason's a little ahead of him. They're both going to play in that backup three tech. And then Caden McDonald is clearly the backup one tech. And K-Mac looks really good. So that's a question that's been answered. Any backup defensive tackles going to step up and prove their dudes? Yes, I'm ready to say Caden McDonald and Jason Moore are ready to play a lot this year and play effectively as backup.
This is how I know they're so heavily invested in having an elite defensive line, Dave. If you really look at the coaching structure for that defensive line, they actually have three D-line coaches. You have Larry, obviously, there. You have Larry's assistant, who's heavily involved with those guys. And then you also have the pass rushing specialist who came over from the Seattle Seahawks. So they have three coaches. So that right there should help accelerate the growth of a lot of those younger guys. Before, if it was just Larry by himself, you probably wasn't getting the most out of that back end of your depth chart. So to tell me that, hey, we got, you know, three guys in there that are all hands on deck helping the development and the growth of these younger guys, they're going to play this young talent. Like Tyleek said, I'm going to give you everything I got for about 40 plays. 50 plays maybe, but we need to be able to have these younger guys rotate us and spell us whenever we're starting to get gas. And I think that's something that we're going to be able to see this year.
Last thing, and you touched on CJ Hicks. There's a lot we've learned about linebacker. There's still some unanswered questions. We've learned, we know for sure Cody Simon's going to be a starter. That's locked in. And dare I say we've learned that the light bulb has come on for CJ Hicks. I'm not saying for sure he's going to be the starter, because they're both – Sonny's going to play a lot too. We're excited about Sonny. Seems like CJ's a little ahead of Sonny right now, and we've been out there. They're both going to play a lot. They're also saying they're going to have some three-backer sets with all three of them in there. But it seems like it's been a good spring for CJ Hicks. You mentioned Gabe Powers as well. He's having a good spring. It seems like CJ Hicks might have turned the corner, Jay Book.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like the light's coming on. And when James talks about him, I think the biggest thing that I've talked to people with regarding CJ Hicks, that, you know, frequency Woody talked to James, talks to the linebackers. James wanted to get CJ on the field last year. the problem was, and there wasn't always a unified way that the defense was operating, meaning that the defensive line at times were kind of freelance, which put the linebackers in an awkward situation. Because if you remember the first year under Jim Knowles' day, the linebackers were making more plays in the backfield. They were more attacking. Last year, they wasn't as aggressive. The linebackers were having to do more read and react. Because that what they were asking from the linebackers, they needed to have veterans on the field, because there were times that they understood that the defensive line were freelance and they weren't always in the right spot. So if you have a defensive line who will be frequently do that, you got to be able to trust the guys back behind them to be able to clean up, be where they needed to be. If not, that's a 40-yard gain to the house. Now that everybody seems to be on the same page, especially Larry Johnson and his defensive line units, like, I'm okay with you guys, you know, doing your moves, you know, doing a little freelancing, but you can't do it so often that you're putting the defense in a bad situation. The linebackers, we are more athletic than what we're being asked out of the linebackers. So I need these linebackers to be able to play with some reckless abandon, play with their hair on fire, playing downhill, being aggressive, smacking somebody at the line of scrimmage, as opposed to being a linebacker unit that's sitting flat foot, that's reading and reacting, because we have to make sure that we're cleaning up anything that the defensive line wasn't able to get to. So I think now that everybody's on the same page, that allows a guy like a CJ Hicks, who's going to be extremely aggressive, who's going to be super athletic at the point of attack, see ball, get football type of football player, that's going to allow CJ Hicks to find a role in here. And if you can get him on the field making some plays out there, start to build that confidence up, his growth is only going to accelerate. Now, if you're really talking about having a solid rotation of players, getting your Gabe Powers in there, getting your Arvo Reese's, having your Sonny Styles in there in certain packages, sky's the limit for this defense, Dave. I mean, this defense can be absolutely lights out, but it's going to be up to the coaches to play it right. You got to be able to make sure that you're smart about it and you're using all of the chess pieces that are on the board, because if you can, this defense has the potential to be one of the best defenses in Ohio State history, especially when you look at what you got on the back end with Caleb Downs, Lathan Ransom. We didn't even touch on those guys, but just talking about that front seven, they have the potential to be very special.
Great insights, as always, from Jonah Booker. Fridays with Jay Book is always a blast. This was no exception. Thank you very much to Jay Book, and thanks to all of you for tuning in. We appreciate that very much. Hope everyone has a great rest of your day and a great weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.